Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon, this rainy afternoon here in northeastern Ohio. I'll tell you what, I was looking out there at the weather thinking and driving up in it up this morning. It was raining all night, raining all morning, raining all day yesterday pretty much. And I was thinking, wow, this could have been last Monday. But I'm sure thankful that it wasn't. I'll talk about that, touch on that in a minute here as well. But again, we're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll jump right into some things here today. Want to continue our discussion on the new heavens and the new earth. We kind of got to that a couple of weeks ago, had different things coming up. Kind of get back to that a little bit. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Thank you that we have an opportunity to serve you and to worship you. Thank you that you made yourself known to us, Lord. Thank you that this past Monday during the eclipse, that we could certainly see a testimony of the Bible where it says the heavens declare the glory of God. We saw that certainly on display during the eclipse. But Lord, we do pray that you would bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. And we just thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And when I came in, Pastor Lutz was leaving, and I told him I was glad he survived the apocalypse this past week, as well as the rest of us. And I was talking to my wife the other day thinking, you know, what are these people who were convinced that the world was coming to an end during the eclipse? I mean, what were they doing the next day? Or what were they doing an hour after the eclipse, maybe, or something like that? And all these people, they had all these wild speculations. I shouldn't say speculations. Some people are actually adamant that the Armageddon was going to start, the apocalypse was going to start, the Lord was going to come back, all these things that were going to take place during the eclipse. And as spectacular as it was, you know, little dose of reality here, it was a natural phenomena that God has placed into his creation to bring glory to him. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And it certainly did on the eclipse. And then, you know, northeastern Ohio, the weather would have been more like it is right now, we would have expected, but it was a beautiful day. Some high cirrus clouds came in, and they just kind of drifted around a little bit, but I'll tell you what, that when that happened, it was spectacular. I just never had been in a total eclipse before, and so it was spectacular. Everybody said that there's a world of difference between going from 99.9% coverage of the sun to 100% during totality, and yes, indeed, there was. I was not expecting just how vastly different it was, and it was, of course, the question then that we have been debating or talking about is, what would my chickens do during the eclipse? And yes, we watched them, sat on the back porch and watched the eclipse and watched the chickens, and they milled about in the yard, and they got a little more progressively noisy, the roosters crowing a little bit more, and then... Just before totality, they started getting really noisy, and a lot of birds chirping and stuff in the yard. And then when it went into totality, the chickens went silent. They didn't go into the coop. They didn't get up on a rooster or something somewhere. They didn't get up on the branches or any of the bushes or anything. They froze where they were at in the middle of the yard, and they just went completely silent, and they stood there quietly. I think maybe a couple of hens cackled, or not cackled, but kind of made a little murmuring sound, in the middle of it. But for the most part, they just stood there silently until the totality ended. And then as soon as the sun came back, and it's amazing, once that first little glimpse of the sun makes it past the moon's edge, all of a sudden the lights were back, and they went back to life as normal, as if nothing happened. So that was what happened with the chickens. I'll be talking about it more and some other observations on the eclipse probably on Sunday night as well. But tonight, today, I want to get back into looking at the things that God has in store for us in the future as we look at the heavenly city. Well, actually, it's the heavenly city that comes down to the earth, the new Jerusalem, and the new heavens and the new earth that God has planned for us. And I don't know about you, but I see the things that are happening in the world around us, and I realize how bad things are getting. If you were listening to Pastor Lutz in the last half hour, you're talking about some of the things happening and the corruption and stuff that we see. And you know, my friends, if you're counting on politicians to save us, to rescue us, you're going to be severely disappointed. The only one you can count on in this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you are looking to him for salvation, not merely economic salvation or physical salvation or salvation of society, but I hope you're looking at him for salvation, as in spiritual salvation, the salvation of your soul. And that's what he celebrated. We had Easter celebrations here recently, of course, Orthodox celebrating it, I think this Sunday or last Sunday. And excuse me, we recognize why Jesus came. He came to purchase our salvation with his own blood that he shed on the cross, as he died for you and died for me. And then thankfully, even though he was buried, he rose again third day victorious over sin and death. And you too can have that precious gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise that you can dwell with him for all eternity if you'll confess your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross at Calvary when he died for you and died for me. And well, as we look at these things, we look at what God has in store for us. You know, it's hard to believe. It's just like it was hard to believe what the totality of the eclipse was going to look like when the moon completely covered the sun and you could see the corona and you could see some solar flares appearing as little red dots along the edge, and you could look up and you could see Jupiter, you could see Venus off on sort of toward the bottom, away from the sun, and it just incredible to think that you're seeing these planets in the middle of the day. It's just unreal. As I said, the heavens declare the glory of God. But when we look at it, you know, I wasn't prepared for what I would see when in totality. And that reminded me of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9, where Paul wrote, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And as we've been talking about different things that are in store for this world leading up to the catching away of the believers, the revelation of the Antichrist, the seven-year tribulation period, the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation in power and glory, and then, of course, the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth, then the new heaven and the new earth that is given to us. And we saw when we were looking at this last that the new city, the new Jerusalem, the city, the heavenly city, coming down from heaven, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 here, where it says, "And I saw a new heaven," starting verse 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And this is what Jesus was talking about in John 14, where he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And this is the place that he's preparing for us. And this is going to be where the bride of the Lamb, the Lamb's bride, the bride of Christ, is going to spend eternity. And in fact, Paul or I'm sorry, John later is talking with one of the angels in verse 9. It says, and there came, Revelation 21, verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And as he goes on to describe this city, and we're going to look at some of the things here a little bit, it is mind-boggling. It is something eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, and it's certainly not entered into our heart, the glories and the things that we're going to see when we see this new Jerusalem. And of course, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're one of the people who will see this new Jerusalem, because it's going to be your home. And, you know, I know we always talk about have a home in heaven, being in heaven with the Lord for all eternity, but we saw here that in Revelation 21, verse 2, the new Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven. In verse number 10, it said, that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And so we see that this city is being prepared in heaven right now, but it is going to come to the earth. And the size of it that it's described as is just incredible. It's mind-boggling. In Revelation 22, verse 16, it says that it gives the shape of the city and its dimensions. And it says, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth of the height of it are equal. And this 12,000 furlongs equals out to about 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles, which roughly is the distance between the Ohio-Pennsylvania border and the western edge of Colorado. And if you can imagine something that huge, it's just absolutely incredible, staggering in the size of this. It's something that's almost beyond comprehension. And yet, this is a place that's been prepared for us. I had taken the dimensions of that and imposed it on a map of the 48 contiguous states one time. And what it does is if you draw a circle that big around, just 1,500 miles around as a circle, or draw a cube, actually, so it should be the base of it, it would be a square, but I initially had done it as a circle to get the diameter, and then I turned that into a square, and the square would reach from, let's say, you know, where Disney World is, Orlando, Florida, over almost to not quite to the Gulf of California in Mexico. It would run from New Orleans in the south up into Canada in the north. It would run, like I said, from the Ohio Pennsylvania border over to the Colorado-Utah border. And this, it probably takes up, just looking at it visually, it's probably at least 2/3 of the continental United States in terms of the ground that it would cover. And it's just absolutely huge, huge dimensions. It's mind-boggling. It's hard to comprehend just how big this is. And it comes down, the Bible says, from heaven to the earth. And a lot of people think it's going to land on the earth, but when you look at the description of it, there is nothing in the description that it says that it'll land on the earth. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a minute. I just wanted to review something real quick, too. In terms of the space inside of this city, remember, it's 1,500 miles on a side, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and then it's height is also the same, 1,500 miles. And a lot of people think it's a cube, which it could be. I personally think that it's going to be a pyramid, because I think that is described better by the scriptures, Jesus being the chief cornerstone and we being the stones making up the building. The chief cornerstone, the capstone of a pyramid, is the last stone that goes into place, and it's the only one that has the shape of the entire structure. And a pyramid can have a square base, and it'd be 1,500 miles on a side and 1,500 miles tall from the base to the peak of the pyramid. And to give you an example, a pyramid would contain approximately 1,125,000 cubic miles. I mean, that's incredible. Putting it into perspective, Pluto as a planet, or a small dwarf planet, whichever you want to call it, has not too much more cubic miles space in it, in volume, in it than the New Jerusalem would have. Pluto has about 1.5 million cubic miles of volume. The New Jerusalem, if it's a pyramid, would have about 1.125 million cubic miles. If it was a cube, it would be 3,375,000 cubic miles. And of course, certainly huge. In either case, the base of the city would cover 2,250,000 square miles. Now, this is why I don't believe it's actually going to land on the earth, because the Bible says it comes to the earth, down from God out of heaven, in Revelation 19 and verse 10, descending out of heaven from God. There's nothing that ever says that it lands on the earth, but it comes to the earth. And so it says in Revelation 21:24, gives another thought here. It says, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now, what do you suppose that means? Remember, we're in the new heaven and the new earth. The old new heavens and the new earth, the old heavens and earth have passed away, have been renovated by fire. The elements have melted with a fervent heat. We talked about that. We have this new heaven, this new earth. The unsaved have all been consigned to the lake of fire, where the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. And the believers, the redeemed of the ages, will be in this new heaven and this new earth. If you're somebody who got saved during the church, the dispensation of grace, sometimes we call this the church age, that's the time from the cross, or from the resurrection, I guess we could say, until the catching away of the believers. That's the age in which we're in right now, the time in which we're in. You will be a resident of the New Jerusalem. The saved from previous ages, prior to the flood, you know, the age from Adam to Noah, the believers after the flood, before Israel was a nation, and certainly we have them, and then we have the Jewish believers, we have them, and then we'll have the people who come to Christ during the tribulation period, that's another group, and then the people who come to Christ, who were born and come to Christ during the millennial reign of Christ, after the tribulation, that's another distinct group. Those groups of believers will all have their home and make up these nations that are here on the new earth. You say, wait a minute, I go to church and they talk about we're going to live in heaven for forever and ever. Well, no, the Bible actually says you're going to be on this new heaven, on this new earth. And it talks about nations of people. In fact, Revelation 20, verse number, 24, it says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Well, he supposed makes up those nations. It's the saved of the ages, and those who are the bride of Christ, our residence is in the New Jerusalem. So let's go back to the New Jerusalem. The Bible says that it comes from God out of heaven, and it comes to the earth. I personally believe that it's going to be in orbit around the earth, likely in a geosynchronous orbit, I would think, over top of the area of Israel, or Jerusalem on the earth, where, of course, you know, some of the nations, and one of those nations will be the redeemed Jewish people, who will be in that nation. And so that will be on the earth. And the Bible describes this in Revelation 21, verses 22 through 23. And I saw no temple therein. This is in the New Jerusalem, talking about the light of the New Jerusalem. It says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now, a lot of people say, well, there's no need for the sun or the moon, so there's no sun or moon in the new creation. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It says that the New Jerusalem, the people dwelling there, do not need the sun or the moon. It doesn't say they're not there. It says they don't need it because God himself lights it up. And when you think about it, the light shining forth from New Jerusalem would constitute one of the most incredible sights. I mean, when you think about how incredible it was to see the sun in its totality, when the black disk with the corona and some of the solar prominence, solar flares and things visible. When we see this new Jerusalem, it'll be one of the most incredible sights, a sight you cannot even hardly imagine. The description in Revelation 21, verses 18 through 21, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Imagine the light of God shining through this, reflecting and refracting through these golden streets and foundations of these precious stones and everything. This is very reminiscent of the description of Lucifer in Ezekiel chapter 28, and where it says in verses 13 and 14, thou, talking about Lucifer, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle with gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of stones of fire. And just as Lucifer once reflected the glory of God, when it says that he was the anointed cherub which covered, remember in the throne room of God in Revelation chapter 4, we see the angelic beings surrounding the throne crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and there's no one over it. If you could imagine that Lucifer once, Satan before he fell into sin, that Lucifer once was over top of the throne reflecting the glory of God, the light of God streaming out, was reflected and refracted in the gemstones covering Lucifer, and the incredible beauty and that sight would have had. Well, guess what? The New Jerusalem is going to now reflect the glory of God in that sense. And that's again where I read in Revelation 21, verses 24 and 26, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. This is just amazing when you think about it. The description of this new Jerusalem shining like a brilliant star in the sky above the earth. Like I said, I believe it'll be parked in an orbit above the earth. It just makes sense. I know God can do anything he wants to. If he wants it to be on the earth, he'll make it work. But the size and everything, you just consider the thing over the earth like a little star shining out the glory of God. And as you could just look up and see it, the kings of the earth walk in the light of it. The nations of them which are saved walk in the light of it. And we just marvel at God's glory. And, of course, that's the future home of the believer. the New Jerusalem. And I believe it'll be the gateway between the physical realm, the physical universe, and the new heaven, where the spiritual realm is. And we'll have that ability to go back and forth. What an exciting time. What a thing to look forward to when we see the things happening in the world. I hope you know Christ is your Savior. If you don't, put your faith in Him before it's too late. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.